Welcome to another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
Four!
Within the vast area called the San Luis Valley, there are three distinct places that locals and visitors alike can golf. Each course offers its own unique experience that complements the others splendidly. But that's not all. Each of them has a variety of other amenities and opportunities to enjoy yourself. SL Voices met with professional and knowledgeable representatives of all three courses to get their story, find out what they offer, learn what it's like to golf in this area, hear how they help our local economy, and a whole lot more. Please enjoy the stories and information from Nick Owen, head golf professional of Rio Grande Club and Resort in South Fork, John Atencio, general manager of Cattails Golf Course in Alamosa, and Ingrid Watson, general manager of the Monta Vista Golf Club.
I'm Adam, and we are at the Monta Vista Golf Course here, of course, in Monta Vista. Did you know that we have three really great, unique golf courses here in the San Luis Valley to choose from? The Cattails Golf Course, of course, in Alamosa. There is the Monta Vista Golf Club and the Rio Grande Club and Resort in South Fork. We are fortunate enough to have some really key people from each course out to talk to us about their course, what's unique about it, and why do people golf in the San Luis Valley? What a unique place to do this. Joining us is Ingrid Watson, General Manager of the Monta Vista Golf Club. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Joining us from the Rio Grande Club and Resort in South Fork is Nick Owen.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for having us on today.
Oh, I appreciate it, Nick. And you are the head professional?
Head golf professional. That's correct.
What does that mean?
I kind of oversee all the golf operations, whether that's any merchandising, tournaments. We host a lot of outside events and golf outings. I'm in charge of kind of the realm there. Also the practice facility, the golf cart fleet. Just trying to make the golf experience good for all our members and guests.
That's, you got your hands full.
I'm working on it. I'm learning every day.
Rounding us out, we have from the Cattails Golf Course in Alamosa, John Atencio, General Manager. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for having me, Adam.
Well, I appreciate you joining us as well. Let's go back around the table and start asking some in-depth questions. First, Ingrid, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from here in the San Luis Valley. I grew up just outside of Monta Vista and went to Monta Vista schools. I left when I graduated and went to Gunnison for about 7 years and then came back and have made my home here.
Great. How did you end up becoming involved with the Monta Vista Golf Club?
Well, growing up, I was best friends with our previous superintendent, Britt Jardin. So I spent a lot of time out here on the golf course. When I moved back from Gunnison, I needed a job, and they had a position open in the pro shop, and I've kind of worked my way up from there.
What do you wish you had known when you started out?
I wish I knew more about golf. I play golf, I enjoy golf, but I've definitely learned a lot since I've been here about kind of how everything operates, especially tournaments and leagues and things like that.
What about golfing most appeals to you?
I love just being out on the course. It's very relaxing. It's quiet. It's kind of its own little bubble in the world.
Nick, where are you originally from, sir?
Yeah, Adam. I've kind of been a nomad my whole life. I'm a Midwestern native. You know, I was born in Chicago, but my family, we moved around and lived in every state that bordered Lake Michigan. Growing up as a child, I lived in Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin. 1 year in between there, we lived down in Florida. I graduated high school from Wisconsin, so I consider myself a Midwesterner. It was tough kind of growing up, moving to all these different states and cities. It was tough being a sports fan because I never really knew kind of what team to root for or what city to pull for. It was tough kind of rooting for multiple teams living in different cities. Midwestern native, I went to college out in New Mexico State in Las Cruces, and that was kind of my first taste of the West. That was the first time I was ever west of the Mississippi. That was when my parents dropped me off to school. I kind of fell in love with the Mountain West, and it took me quite some time to get back to the West, most recently coming from Park City, Utah, before moving to South Fork. So I'm glad to be back in the mountains and have a pretty neat golf course to call work.
How did you get involved with the Rio Grande Club and Resort?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been proactively looking to further my career. I was an assistant these past few seasons working out in Utah, And when I saw the position at South Fork open, I came out to visit, and I pulled in with about 20 minutes of daylight, my first time ever being down in this part of the country, and I didn't know where I was. There was no street lights, you know, there were really no restaurants. I was here, in, I think it was late May, early April, so it was super quiet. So I was a little concerned at night, you know, the sun went down, and I was like, okay, well, what's going on here? But I woke up early in the morning and drove around, and a really cool spot. So I've been here for about 5 weeks now, so I'm kind of fresh.
Well, welcome to the valley.
It's a great spot.
What do you wish you had known when you started out in golfing?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot that I keep learning. You know, there's just so much about the game. It's something that, you know, the game of golf itself can't really be mastered. That's one of the cool things about it. You know, we can go out there and have a great day, and the next day it's totally different. You know, it may have flipped 180, and I kind of see parallels in that working in the golf industry. You know, you may think and plan and prepare for so many things, but there's different curveballs that come every day, and one thing I didn't know about was the river and the way it can flood every season after the snow melts. So that's something I wish I would have been better prepared for this season. Our floodwaters have lowered. All 18 holes are open at the Rio Grande Club and Resort.
Good. Finishing up, John Atencio, are you from the Cattails Golf Course in Alamosa? Where are you originally from, sir?
So, Adam, I was born and raised here in Alamosa. I'm a local. Family's got old ties here in the valley. Went to high school here at Alamosa, and then I actually stayed here and played college golf for Adams State University, and yeah, I've been here ever since.
You're a well-known name in the valley then, aren't you?
Yeah.
How did you become involved with Cattails?
So Cattails actually was my first real job when I was growing up. You know, my dad owns a grocery store, so I've always worked for him, but my first job away from him was just picking range balls at Cattails when I was about 12 years old. And, you know, just worked my way up to, you know, parking carts, then working in the pro shop through college. And then after college, I took the assistant pro job at Cattails. And then within a year from that, I took the GM job at Cattails.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You really literally have come up through the ranks.
So it's a dream job for me, you know, to be the GM at your home course that you grew up on is a pretty cool thing to do.
That is great. What do you wish you'd known when you started out?
Honestly, I just learned this recently, but how important player development programs are for local courses. You know, that's how we build players and members and things like that. That's one thing that we're implementing is more player development programs at Cattails.
What about golfing appeals most to you?
I always liked golf because I'm the youngest of five older brothers in my family. So there's five of us total, and I was kind of on the young end where I kind of grew up as an only child because all my brothers are older. So I really like golf because it's an individual sport. You don't have to have other buddies to go play, you know, and it's a sport that can never be won. You know, no matter how good you played, you could always shoot better the next day. So you're always chasing something that you're never going to grasp, really. So you can always get better.
Nick, I meant to ask you that too. What about golfing most appeals to you?
Yeah, you know, it's just a neat cross kind of between physical control and mental control in a sport. There's very few sports out there that offer this same ratio. I mean, I'd almost say it's more mental than physical, stepping out there on the course. Like John was saying, it's one game you can go out there and play solo, and, you know, it's just you and the golf course, and it's just it's a nice place to be. And working in the golf industry, it's pretty neat being able to check in four generations of a family being represented in one foursome. I mean, you could have a grandfather, the father, the son, and the child, you know, stemming all different ages, generations, gaps in between them, and they can still go out and have fun outside and play a sport all together, play the same game. It's a pretty neat sport.
Well, let's go into the history of the particular courses here. Again, we have three very unique courses with, of course, certain similarities, but differences as well. Ingrid, why don't you tell us about the history of the Monta Vista Golf Club?
The Monta Vista Golf Club is one of the first courses established in the state of Colorado. We were established in 1928. We do have documentation in our pro shop that goes back to 1926 that was, you know, about our course development and how to lay out the course and things like that. We have minutes from meetings at that time when they were developing their membership program and how they were going to run things at the course. It's kind of neat to go through those things and just see the history of what they did in those times, and especially prices. That was really interesting to see, you know, like $5 for a yearly membership and stuff like that. Definitely not the case anymore. The course 1 through 5 was originally set aside as a green space in the city of Monte Vista, and that's where the original course was established. And then holes 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 were purchased at a later date and added on to the course.
John, what about Cattails?
So Cattails Golf Course in our current location has been around for over 50 years. The front nine was originally built back over 50 years ago, but the back nine was recently built in the early 90s. That's when we changed over to an 18-hole facility. The history before that is kind of blurry. I know that there was a golf club out to the southeast part of town, but I'm not sure what the dates were on that.
And it predates Cattails.
Yeah. Predates where we're at now.
And Nick, tell me about the Rio Grande Club and Resort.
Yeah, it's fairly new. They kind of broke ground in 1999. The front nine was opened in 2001. The back nine was completed and opened for play June 1st of 2002. So it's a relatively new course. It's a great 18-hole design. It was developed by Redstone Golf, which is out of Denver. They've developed a couple other courses in the Denver, Colorado Springs area. They did a really good job, and it's a fun place.
So I'll open this up, and you can answer in any order that you like. What is unique about your course that sets it apart?
I think with the Monte Vista course, it's a very flat course. Our fairways are long and straight. A lot of people come out, and they see that, and they're like, oh, you know, this is going to be pretty easy. And then they come back afterwards, and they mention how, wow, hitting straight consistently is a little difficult. So I think that's kind of unique about our course. Also, the fact that it's a 9-hole course. We're the only 9-hole course. And even though we do offer 18, we do have separate tee boxes for each. So if there's any sort of handicap posting or anything, you can still post that score.
Okay, John, what about Cattails? What sets you guys apart?
So Cattails is unique in the fact that the front nine was built 50 years ago, and it's kind of an older muni type look on the front nine, and then you go to the back nine and it's a totally different looking course. We have a lot of dog legs and hazards, and it just kind of has the feel of two different designers built in one location. Also, you know, if you look at our scorecard, it's not real long off the tee where people are intimidated by length, but then you get there and a lot of those shots are really tight. Almost like hitting down a gun barrel, you know, it's very tight to get into some locations, and just the way it challenges you without being too long for players is what's unique about Cattails.
And Nick?
Yeah, the Rio Grande Club, you kind of have three different experiences when you're out there. You know, you have the mountain slopes, you have the Rio Grande River and the Alder Creek, and then you have some kind of ponds and wetlands. So you get a nice contrast of all that the San Juan National Forest has to offer. It's a fun experience, kind of what John was saying, the difference of nines. You know, the front nine has some water features next to the Rio Grande River. And then when you make the turn to the back nine, that's kind of when you get that mountain course feel. There's some big elevation drops from tee boxes down to fairways. And all our out-of-town guests, as I'm sure you guys all know, like the high altitude, because for those people coming up from the flatter Texas lands or Kansas or the plains, you know, they don't have that elevation. And, you know, we're sitting at 7,500 to 8,500 feet. That's really good for golf. It helps the golf ball go further.
Really?
Yes. The thinner air produces less restriction on that golf ball to fly through the air. A lot of our out-of-town guests, they love playing up here. Rio Grande Club measures 7,200 from the tips, but it doesn't play that far. And that's somewhat of a far course in broad terms. But again, with that elevation, people see anywhere from 5 to 15% more distance, just depending on their type of swing. But it benefits everybody to play at elevation. So come out to Colorado and tee it up.
Do you get a lot of, I don't know if the right word is overshoot, but you know what I'm saying? People are hitting it too hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it takes a little while to kind of calibrate the distances, but we do offer a practice range. Range balls are included with each greens fee, so people can go out and kind of calibrate their distances. Very useful for our visiting resort guests.
You experience that too at Cattails, I imagine.
Yes, for sure. A lot of people say, you know, they love coming here because they drive it, like you said, 5 to 15% further. But a lot of people say the approach shot's a lot harder at our elevation, you know, because you'll catch, just like you said, flyers and airmail a green or two. And you're looking around at your buddies like, man, I've never hit a 9-iron that far. And that just comes with the elevation we're at.
Well, let's talk about the various amenities that are offered at each course. I mean, yes, golf is the primary function at each of your locations, but you offer more than that too, don't you?
Rio Grande Club offers several amenities. There's memberships available, and as well it's open to the public. So there's it's kind of a semi-private course, but the members get to experience some pretty neat amenities out there. There is a fishing lodge right off the third hole that a lot of members use for base camp for their fishing trips or floating trips down the Rio Grande River. We have tennis courts for pickleball and tennis. There's also kind of a pool and hot tub area. There's a fitness facility. We also have some event and wedding spaces. We host a lot of outside events and weddings. We can host different conferences, accommodate between 8 and 100 people in our kind of different conference room areas that we offer. Aside from the well-stocked bar and golf shop, there's a lot to do.
Inger, what about Monta Vista?
We do have space for private events, and we have very reasonable rates for renting the space out. We've had several weddings here. Class reunions are usually big right around Stampede. We, in the last few years, put in 2 horseshoe pits. We're kind of trying to push that as another thing that people can do here. They're free for the public to use at any time. We are trying to set up some tournaments. We'll be having a tournament to benefit the Monta Vista Police Department K-9 unit here July 20th, and then they'll be doing a golf tournament in the afternoon. So that's one thing that we're kind of trying to get people out here. We do have a big screen TV in the pro shop that whenever there's golf events, the PGA Tour, the Masters, things like that, we televise those for anyone that wants to come down and just hang out.
Well, it's a great place to come and do that. Let's go to the golf course, watch some golf. You know, it makes a lot of sense. Now, you work with a local high school too, don't you?
Yes, we host the Monta Vista High School golf teams, both the girls and boys. Boys play in the fall. Girls play in the spring. We do a small tournament for each of them during the year.
That's great. John, what about cattails?
So cattails, we have a lot of different amenities for you. You know, we have fully stocked pro shop. We have a driving range. We have a full 18-hole championship course. Also, we host a good-sized junior golf program throughout the summer. We host Alamosa boys and girls golf tournaments in the fall and spring. And then also, we're the home course for our ASU women's golf team. So we host their tournaments. We're on a rotation, so we host every 4 years at our facility there. We've hosted RMAC championships for the college. We've hosted the boys' state golf championship in the early 2000s. We have the layout for a lot of good stuff there at Cattails. We also have a golf simulator where we can do some club fittings and help tweak your clubs, give lessons and things like that with a little bit of technology involved. And then we set up a golf simulator room over the wintertime so members can hit balls in the wintertime as well.
Do any of the courses here offer the ability to play, I think what's called disc golf?
So at Cattails, we don't offer disc golf at our facility, but north of us, just about half a mile, there is actually 27 holes of disc golf. You don't set it up through the golf shop. It's a free service of the city of Alamosa, but it's located just north of our course.
That's the only opportunity I've heard for disc golf in the area.
One of the challenges that the Monta Vista Golf Club has with doing a disc golf tournament or event is that we don't know a whole lot about disc golf. And so we've been researching and trying to figure out what's involved with that and the protection of our course with that, being able to protect our greens and make sure that, you know, they don't get damaged and that the people out here understand how to conduct themselves on a golf course.
How do you see your golf courses benefiting your local communities?
So golf courses benefit our communities in a lot of different ways, but I broke it down into 3 main things of what we do for our community. The first is we provide a recreational space for citizens of all ages. We at Cattails have members from 5 years old to our oldest member being 94. And that's very hard to find a recreational space that all ages, all sexes, everybody can use at one time. So that's the first one. The second one is we're also a big recruiting tool for our community. When professionals are looking to move to the area, you know, doctors, professors at the university, things like that, and they're looking to move here, a lot of those people enjoy golf. If there's not a golf course in that city, a lot of times they'll move on to somewhere else. You know, it improves the quality of life in our community having a golf course available for them. The third thing that I have is probably the most important. It's the economic impact for our communities. We're in a high tourist area where there's a lot of towns and a lot of things to do, where we need any little thing to keep people in our town. You know, if you're coming through from Pueblo, traveling to Durango, and you're a golfer and there's nothing there, you're going to travel through and stay the night in a different town with a golf course, where if you have a golf course, those people are going to travel in. They're going to buy at your pro shop. They're going to play golf. They're going to go stay in your hotels, eat your restaurants, shop in your downtown. The economic impact of golf courses is massive. Adams State University did an economic impact study on Alamosa a few years back, and the golf course was one of the main economic impact factors for Alamosa. And you know, it's the same for Monta Vista, South Fork. It's a big recreational tool that attracts people to our communities. You know, we get a lot of tourists from Oklahoma, Texas, where they're escaping the heat, and nothing better than to play some mountain golf at high elevation and hit those lung bombs we were talking about earlier.
Especially with those epic views around you too.
Exactly, exactly. So that's three big things that, you know, a lot of everyday citizens don't really account for in our communities. That, you know, it's not just a place for people who like golf to go. It's something that stimulates our economy and really gets things going in the summertime for our communities.
Ingrid, what about Monta Vista?
Monta Vista, it's many of the same things on a general scale. You know, the economic impact. We have several people that come down from South Fork, and, you know, the husbands go, they come and play golf, and the wives go and do their shopping and get all of that, whether it's here in Monta Vista or Alamosa. It brings that in to us. One of the things that we do for our community specifically is payroll deductions. We offer this through our schools and any business that would be interested in doing that, where somebody that might not be able to come out and pay for a membership in full at the beginning of the season, they're able to do that through their employer. And we get a lot, especially through the schools, we get a lot of people out here. They get their kids out here with them, and we're using that to get more players and to get the younger players involved as well.
Well, you mentioned too, this is a community area, the whole golf course here.
It is. It definitely is. Like John said, you know, the age 5 to 100, anybody can be out here. And it's really nice to see when we have some of our younger golfers out here, especially, you know, high school, middle school age, and they're around the older golfers that have been doing it for so long, and they're giving them pointers. And it's great to see that, you know, it's going down in the generations.
And Nick, what about Rio Grande?
Yeah, you know, we try to benefit the community. Our goal at Rio Grande Club, we're trying to get as many people to come to the South Fork and San Luis Valley area as possible. We do a lot of outreach programs during the winter season, our off season for the golf course. We'll head to different golf expos, whether it's in Denver or Pueblo or out in Texas or in Oklahoma. We try to really highlight the benefits that the SLV has to offer to kind of the tourists and those people that have never been to this area. We currently have 17 different states represented in our golf membership. We're proud on that fact that we're bringing in people from all across the country into this little slice of paradise that the SLV is for everybody. Our goal is also trying to drive the local economy. We have 15 full-time employees, and right now in the summer months, we're upwards of 40. So we provide some employment opportunities to the locals in the community. With those two things, trying to mix employment and trying to highlight this area, that's kind of how we envision ourselves, or how we are giving back to the community.
Not being a golfer myself, I did quite a bit of research to learn a lot of things, and I read words like course and slope ratings. What do those mean?
Can I Google that real quick to get the proper definition? Oh, that's all based on the USGA is kind of golf's governing body for the United States. Their goal is to have everybody to be able to compete amongst each other. When you're reading slope and course rating, you'll probably see something about handicap. There's a handicap in golf, as in bowling and some other sports, but it's a way to kind of even the playing field. The raters will go out and they'll assess a course and they'll give it a certain rating, which is a two-digit number with a decimal point, and then they'll give it a slope.
I don't know the actual definition, but is where they put it compared to like the standard? Like your slope will go either up or down based on how difficult your course is to the
standard.
So
the higher a slope, the more difficult the course is.
Yep.
Well, golfing, like many sports, has its own set of unique words to describe various things that occur during play. I found some of these very, very interesting. And for those who don't golf or maybe unaware of them, let's talk about some of the more interesting phrases. What does a par mean?
Like you said, the USGA goes out and sets up a par on each hole, depending on the difficulty and length. But there's anything usually from a par 3 to a par 5. And if you get par on a hole, that means that you're level. You didn't do any better or any worse than what the USGA thinks you should be able to do on that hole. And most of the time, that distance makes it so that each player can get on that green in two shots below par. So that if you two putt every hole and get on in regulation, you par each hole.
The par number would equal the number of strokes or number of times you actually physically hit the ball to get it in the hole.
Yes.
It's a funny number. Par is good. I mean, for a golfer to score a par in a hole, that's pretty impressive. For any par you have out there, whether it's a 3, a 4, or a 5, within that number, there's two strokes there. Two strokes are always accounted for the green for putting. So if we have a par 3, they're going to allot you 2 strokes once you're on the green, but 1 stroke to get on there. For a par 4, a little longer hole, you have 2 strokes to get on the green and then 2 putts. A par 5, longest hole on typical courses, that gives you 3 shots to get on the green with 2 putts.
That actually makes sense. Accounting for 2 on the green.
You always get 2 putts. If you can 2-putt any green, you consider yourself a great putter and keep it up because that's a tough thing to do.
What is a bogey?
So a bogey just means that you shot 1 more stroke than what par is on that hole. You know, so a par 3, you got a 4 on that hole. Or a par 5, then you got a 6 on that hole. So it's just 1 stroke above par.
So a double bogey then would be 2 strokes above?
Yes.
You don't want double bogeys.
Yep.
Try to minimize those if you can.
What is a birdie?
So birdie on the contrast is 1 stroke below par. So if it's a par 3, you get it in 2. Par 5, you get it in 4. So like Nick was saying, that usually means that you 1-putted that hole. Par 3, you hit it on in 1, and then it only took you 1 putt to get in.
And some of the more interesting terms I read, a duck hook?
That's a shot that goes sharply to the left with a nice big curve on it.
And an albatross.
This was one I had never heard before.
Albatross is basically 2 under par. Okay, so most typically it happens on a par 5 where you actually hole out your 3rd shot going in. So it's 2 strokes below par. That's a rare one. That's honestly more rare than a hole-in-one.
Which may be why you've never heard it before, Ingrid.
Yeah, I've heard of the eagle and all of that, and I've just never...
The albatross is tough,
waterfowl has never come out
to
me.
Happy Gilmore got one on a par 4. Yep. He got it, his drive, his 1 stroke went in the hole. But usually you see it on those longer holes, and it's tough, as John was saying. It's elusive like a hole-in-one. There's always a little bit of luck involved in either 2 of those.
What's a worm burner?
Well, where do worms come from?
The ground.
The ground, yeah. So that's just a shot that stays low. And part of the appeal of golf is being able to send a golf ball through the air towards a target and covers a large distance. And it's pretty neat to have that control. A worm burner is one where it doesn't get in the air and it kind of stays along the ground and runs over or takes out any worms in its way.
What's a lip out?
Oh, those are the worst. It's on the putt. It refers to the putting green. Putting greens, that's one of the most sacred parts of any hole. You have a tee box, a fairway, and the green. The green is where we have the shortest length of grass. The grass is cut very low, so we can roll the ball and have a nice uniform roll on it. Because our goal, that's where the hole is located. Our goal is to get the golf ball in the hole, and then we can go on to the next tee box. So when you lip out, that just means your golf ball has caught a little bit of that hole. It may dive into the cup, but then it scoots back out. It's barely missing a putt. A lot of frustration.
I get that. What happens if the ball goes in and comes back out? What do you do in a case like that?
It wasn't holed out, unfortunately. It has to stay in the cup.
Yep. Okay.
In the hole.
So what's a Texas wedge?
A Texas wedge is a putter. The reason why they call it a Texas wedge is because in a lot of places in Texas, you know, it's dusty, tight lies where if you're off the green, hitting a wedge is really hard. So they just pull out their putter and run it up there on the green rather than take the chance of chunking one or blading it over the green. So a lot of people use putters.
It's a safe shot to pull, but your friends may heckle you when you bring out your putter 40 yards off the green. But again, if you can roll it on the ground towards your target, hey, play on. The British Open is a big golf tournament that's going to be televised next month, middle of July. It's always played over in Great Britain somewhere, and they play the game of golf a lot differently. They will implement that Texas wedge. You'll see a lot of balls rolling on the ground towards the target versus American golf, where we try to fly our golf ball to the target. So that Texas wedge is, it's a good shot to have. But yeah, most people in the Panhandle are down in Texas where there's not a lot of grass. It's a popular shot.
All right, just a couple more. What's a mulligan?
A mulligan is a free shot that you can take without penalty.
A mulligan's not really a shot that you use in a USGA sanctioned event, but, you know, playing golf with your buddies and things like that, and you hit one out of bounds, you tell them, I'm taking a mulligan, and it's basically a redo on that previous shot.
That's one thing. We host a lot of fundraiser tournaments, a lot of outside entities, especially sports teams, the volleyball team, football team. One of their fundraisers will be to sell mulligans. So, you know, you can buy like $5 buys you 3 mulligans or something like that, to where you can use them on the course throughout the event.
The do-over is usually better than the original. Everybody likes a mulligan every now and then.
That's why it's a good fundraiser.
Yeah.
All right, one more. What's a fried egg?
Yeah, fried egg's not as good as it sounds. What it is when your ball goes in a bunker and it plugs in the ground, it kind of looks like a fried egg in the ground because your ball's there and there's a big circle around your ball and it's embedded in the ground. It's really hard to hit out of them. Yeah, it's not a good thing.
What does it mean if a golfer says, I chunked it?
So our goal is to strike the golf ball with our club. There'll be some incidental contact with the ground. When we chunk it, that means our club is kind of hit the ground a little bit behind the golf ball. So our golf club went down, we hit the ground first, and it makes a chunky sound or chunky feeling. It's not a good feeling.
Many times I imagine it creates what they call a divot, too.
It does create a divot, oh yeah. And the divot may go further than the golf ball, which when that happens, you know, maybe that's time to take a mulligan. Maybe they bought one from Ingrid, hopefully we'll see.
Last weekend here in Monte Vista, you had a Hackers and Slackers tournament. I've got to ask, because I was asked, what is a Hackers and Slackers tournament? Does it have anything to do with computers?
No, it does not. And it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with anything. We sat down this past winter, and we've had a tournament the last several years, and attendance has kind of dropped, and we really just wanted to do something new. We wanted to change our date to a little earlier in the season and just wanted to do something different. So myself and the board got on the internet and we searched some golf tournament names, and we thought that Hackers and Slackers sounded kind of fun. So we went with that, and it was a two-man best ball format. And then we also offered those players an option to buy into a singles tournament, just a stroke play tournament where they were competing against the other players as an individual rather than as a team. We got a decent turnout for our first year. Everybody had a lot of fun. We kind of tried to make it a little more lighthearted and not quite so serious. We offered horseshoes the night before. Everybody came out. We had a keg out here that we nearly finished. We got close to it. Saturday, people were feeling a little off. We're hoping that next year the tournament will pick up a little bit more and we'll get a few more people out here. It's going to be the second to last weekend in June. I believe it's the 20th and 21st of June next year. It's a lot of fun.
When it comes to playing by the book or fast and loose, is there a general preference?
So there's definitely a time for each of them. In a sanctioned event, or, you know, if there's money on the line, you definitely want to play by the book. But with today's youth and things like that, we're kind of pushing the more fast and loose motto. Time is very important in everyone's lives, and golf takes a long time. So we're trying to push, you know, the play nine initiative, where you go out and play 9 holes after work. And things like that, different things that takes less time. That's why Top Golf is so popular. You know, you can go out there, play quite a bit, hit a bunch of balls in an hour, and you're back home. So we're trying to push the fast and loose motto more now. You know, some members that are, you know, more traditional, they're kind of growing on the idea. that's what we're trying to do, is make it fun, make it fast, make sure they enjoy themselves so that they come back and do it again.
Imagine with the fast and loose play, you have more mulligans.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We don't charge for them in fast and loose.
Yeah, that was one of the stigmas to the game a couple decades ago, was that, you know, you have to be by the book, that you have to dress a certain way, you have to buy certain equipment, you know, you have to play golf by the rules. And that's fun to some people. And yeah, it's a good tradition of the game. And as John was saying, for certain tournaments and events, we definitely want to play like that. But it is neat to see the kind of loosening up on golf's rules and regulations. I know there's music allowed on some courses nowadays, if not most courses. People don't mind if you play in a non-collared shirt. You can go out there and, you know, as long as you have shoes on. For our course, you can pretty much play in whatever. And it's even neat to, when you look at golf, the USGA, golf's governing body, they've amended the rules this past year to even help further that kind of fast play. I don't want to say loose play, because the USGA and loose play, they don't go hand in hand. The governing bodies are definitely trying to make it more accessible and more fun for everybody to enjoy the game.
So you do see this changing then?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, just for the, when they did the rules changes for 2019, there's a lot of things in there that to help promote this kind of mentality of either playing nine. Like Ingrid said, this is the only nine-hole course in the Valley. That's a special thing. It's neat to have a place where you can go and scoot around and play nine holes and still get your golf experience and not have to spend 4+ hours if you don't have it.
I was just going to ask, that was my next question. About how long does it take on average to play, say, nine holes?
For a regulation course, you're looking between 2 hours and 4 hours if you're really taking your time and playing by the book. If you're playing fast and loose, you should be able to get done a nine-hole course. And at least at Rio Grande Club, you should be able to play one of those nines in 90 minutes, an hour and a half.
John, what about 18 holes?
Yeah, so 18 holes, like Nick said, you just double it. 4 hours is our standard at our course. And like you said, the USGA is the governing body, and when they do the course ratings, they also do a pace of play timesheet for each course. And at our course, our pace of play is 3 hours and 56 minutes, so right under 4 hours to play 18 holes of golf.
That's kind of average at any golf club, anyone's mentality. That's how it's been the past few decades. So that may change. Maybe we'll get faster, but it is kind of that two-hour benchmark, 13 minutes per hole-ish.
The Monta Vista Club is about the same. Some of our experienced golfers that play the course a lot, you know, they can get done in an hour and 15 minutes and be out of here. But typically it's about an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours for nine holes.
What is it that makes golfing so addicting?
The good shot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a pure golf shot, there's no other feeling like it. And anybody can have it, you know, whether it's your first time playing or you've played your whole life, everyone's chasing that pure golf shot. There's no other feeling like it in the world. And I mean, how we talked about before, golf's a game that can never be won. So every day you go home hungry, wanting to beat what you did the day before, and you're always chasing something you're never going to catch.
Outside of the Valley, what would be your dream golf destination and why?
You know, I've never been or played golf in California. I've had the opportunity to play a lot of courses east of Colorado here, all the way to the eastern seaboard. But my destination now in the next few years, I'm really looking forward to an opportunity to go out to Pebble Beach area. They just hosted golf's major men's championships a couple weeks ago out of Pebble Beach, which is a very historical course. Jack Nicklaus won there, Tiger Woods, all the big names in golf have played that course. And to go there and walk the same 18 holes and hit some of the same shots that you've seen on TV over, you know, growing up, that's kind of on the top of my list right now.
John, what about you?
Yeah, so for me, I actually was fortunate enough to have a brother that worked at Pebble Beach, so I've played that one, and it is awesome to watch the U.S. Open there this year and just knowing exactly what these guys are looking at. For me, Augusta National's at the top of the list for me. Pebble Beach, what's cool about that is it's a public course. Anyone could get on there. It's expensive, but you know, you can buy your way onto that course. Where Augusta National, it's a small group of people that get access to that course. So that's at the top of the list for me.
Ingrid?
We spoke with one of our representatives at the Colorado Golf Association. As they've been developing the world handicap system, he mentioned that he was able to play at a lot of courses in other countries. There were a few that he described in like Scotland and those areas where it's kind of a free-for-all. he mentioned one where it's a public park And, you know, there's people out there having picnics. I definitely think that would be a lot of fun to kind of check out some of those courses that have completely different rules and things than we do here.
I see that what I was wondering is anybody going to say Scotland? Because isn't that where golfing theoretically started in the first place?
The home of golf. Yeah, there's a lot of debate on that, but definitely that's one of the original locations.
I'll go around the table here. Start with you, Ingrid, this time. Do you have rental equipment available for visitors who want to come play?
We do. We have rental clubs available, both right and left-handed clubs. We rent out our carts. We have a driving range facility here. We rent out range balls for that. We will also allow people that want to go out to the range. We have a few clubs if they just want to take out, you know, a driver or some irons just to try the game out. We're all about getting new players out here and giving them the opportunity to try it out. We want to help them out in any way we can.
Nick?
Yes, we do offer rental clubs, both men's and women's, right-handed and left-handed. They're Cobra golf clubs. They're pretty new. They're nice. We offer graphite shaft and regular flex and ladies flex. And then we do have steel flex, stiff shafts for the more avid golfer. We also offer medium flex for our slower swing speed players. So we have a couple different options. If you're in town and you don't have any equipment, you can still come on out and enjoy a round.
John, what about Cattails?
Yeah, same at Cattails. We have rental clubs for men and women, right-handed and left-handed. Rental carts. We rent pool carts as well. We're a flat course, so a lot of our players enjoy the walk. So we rent out pool carts for them as well.
And do you offer lessons as well?
Yes, so we offer lessons. We have a great junior golf program that is $30 for a five-week lesson program where they come one day a week for 5 weeks, and it's only $30 for kids, and actually it's the same exact program that I started in, and it's the same exact price. We've never raised the prices on any of our junior stuff, at least since I was a kid. A junior golfer can get a membership at Cattails for $100, and that's unlimited green fees for the year. For $50, that's a range pass for a junior, and that's unlimited range balls for the year. That's our future, so we've never raised prices on any of our junior stuff. We also do a thing called divots and drinks. It's for the ladies crowd out there. It's $30 per lesson, and what that lesson includes is a 30 to 45 minute lesson either on the driving range or on the practice green. And then we'll go out and play three holes, and then we come into the bar and your first drink is on us. So it's kind of a laid-back lesson deal for any ladies interested in golf but too intimidated to really do it formally, and we kind of break them into the sport, and then over drinks you can ask any questions that you've been wondering about rules or etiquette or anything like that. Anything golf-related, we answer those. Also, we do private lessons, individual, which is $50 for an hour lesson. With either myself or my assistant golf professional, Chalice Wright, or we do a five-pack for $200. So it's basically a buy four, get one free deal for them. So we do that, and then we also do group lessons. Pricing on that is determined on how many people are interested, and we'll get a quote for them.
Ingrid, what about Monta Vista?
The Monta Vista Golf Club has junior golf lessons as well. We're in our second year of kind of long-term lessons. In the past, we offered a junior golf camp, which was a four-day event. Now we go from mid-June till the 1st of August, and it's $40, $35 per child if you have multiple children. We have a lesson for an hour on Wednesday evenings, and then our more advanced golfers come on Monday evenings just so they get a little better attention than a bunch of little kids running around. We offer those, and at the end of that, we have a big little tournament that anyone in the junior golf program can participate in, and anyone else who would like to participate in that. It's a $20 tournament. It's affordable, and is what we do is we do an alternate shot for a adult and child to play together. So the child gets to get out there, and they get to hit, but having that adult with them, you know, speeds it up, and it makes it a little less daunting for them, you know, looking down and seeing the whole way down there at the end.
And Nick, what about Rio Grande?
So yes, I do offer private instruction. I'm working on getting a clinic schedule up. If you stay tuned to RioGrandeClubAndResort.com, all that information will be posted there.
We'll have this too on the podcast webpage. We'll have all of your contact information for each of the courses, how to get a hold of you, your social media information. That'll all be there as well. So absolutely stop by, check that part out, and you can get a hold of any one of the three courses and learn a lot more about them. If someone's never golfed before, but they would really like to try it, what do you recommend they do first? And it's just an open question to any one of you.
I would recommend the driving range, just going out and hitting a few balls. It's definitely kind of gets you the idea of what you're doing in a less stressful environment, I think, without people coming up behind you or trying to play through.
That was the one issue. The one time I did golf back in Tennessee, was it was a lot of playing through. We were really slow.
It can be intimidating out there when you're a beginner and you got people kind of behind you and you can feel their eyes on you.
What would you recommend a first-timer not do?
Have high expectations.
It's very humbling still, even as a PGA professional. We get out there and play a lot. We've mentioned this during the podcast. It's a game you can't win. So yeah, keep your expectations at the proper level and just try to have fun. That pure shot, as you were saying, will come along. And once you hit it, you'll be back.
You will be back for more.
Are there better days for beginners to come out?
Most definitely. High volume for Rio Grande Club is kind of early mornings between the hours of 8 and 11. The best time when we have beginners that come out that are members or resort guests, they usually come out in the afternoon. And that seems to be a good time for our course to come out. It's not too busy, so you won't feel like you're holding people up or anything. I'd say twilight for the Rio Grande Club.
What about cattails?
Yep, same at cattails. You know, the more serious golfer, they want to get out there right behind the mowers in the morning and play the course at its purest. So the morning is definitely our busy time, and twilight's the time to look for, you know. And at cattails, we offer a twilight rate where after 4 o'clock, it's only $15 to walk and $25 to ride, and you can play as much as you can until dark. So that's where we push our new players, you know, our members know to kind of expect families and things like that out at that time.
And Monta Vista?
Twilight would be a good time in Monta Vista as well. We offer from 3 o'clock on $15 for unlimited golf with a cart. And we also offer that on Saturdays. Surprisingly, Saturdays are pretty slow for us. And so Saturdays are a great day for beginning golfers to come out. And we do offer that twilight rate all day, so they can come out and they can hang out here all day if they'd like.
Yeah, and if I could add in there, cattails, our slow day is Sunday afternoons, where Sundays are pretty busy and the afternoons are kind of dead out there. So what we do is after 2 o'clock, any junior that comes with a paying adult or a member plays for free. So that's a time to get kids out there and let them play. You're not going to be holding a bunch of serious players up behind you. It's not very stressful out there. It's very enjoyable on Sunday afternoons.
Nick, what about Rio Grande?
Twilight is great. You got some time to be out there, enjoy the cooler temps, less crowded links, and it's a good time to have fun.
If you all had the power to change one incorrect or preconceived notion about golf, what would it be?
Preconceived notion that I would change is that golf is a rich man's sport. That might have been the way it was 50 years ago or even, you know, more recent than that. But nowadays, a lot of clubs, especially public courses, are trying to make it affordable for everybody and have different programs in place to get people started without it being very expensive.
I agree with John on that. And also that it's an old man's sport. If we don't get the youth here, none of the golf courses will be left. It's definitely a game for younger people, and it's a lot of fun. And with, you know, the fast and loose play now, it's more obtainable to get through and get on to all the other things they have going on.
But golf takes too much time. All our courses, we have 9-hole offerings that you can get around and move around. And if you can select a good time in the afternoon, you don't have to spend a lot of time during your round, but you can still be outside, enjoy the outdoors, the atmosphere, and just the fun of the game.
Well, that leads me to my last question. All three of your courses offer really epic views out here in different ways. You know, we've got mountain ranges surrounding the valley on both sides. Can you paint a mental picture of what it's like standing at your course and playing?
In South Fork, in Rio Grande Club is in South Fork. It's located in the heart of Colorado's San Juan Mountains and right at the headwaters of the Rio Grande River. You kind of begin on a traditional links, open meadow terrain, and then you navigate through kind of some shady groves of cottonwoods and aspen trees that run along the Rio Grande Club's private 3-mile stretch of the Rio Grande River. Then you're also going to encounter some varied wetland features along the way. Some of our tee boxes can drop 500 feet in elevation, so you get kind of get that cool mountain feeling of launching your golf ball and just watching it kind of float through the air. The true mountain course on that back nine, there's also some really neat rock features. There's some chimney rocks actually on the course, so you kind of get a nice experience of southwestern Colorado.
What about Monta Vista?
From the Monta Vista course, we're very centrally located in the valley. From our course, you can view all the mountain ranges. One of the neat things on our course, I guess not really great for golfing, but is seeing some of the storms come in. You can watch them come in from the west, and you can see how they move around our course, which is really neat being out here. Obviously, when they come towards the course, it's not that great because you got to get in with lightning and stuff. But it's one of the things that I've really noticed being out here on a daily basis is being able to see those storms come up over the mountains and just the view. I mean, you get to see every aspect of the valley.
And John, Cattails literally is on the Rio Grande River, isn't it?
Yes, we're located just north of the Rio Grande River. So we have some great views out there. We're in old kind of riverbed area, so there's a lot of old cottonwoods. It was literally woods out there that the course is kind of carved out of, where we have a lot of wetlands with, you know, abundant wildlife. You'll see deer on our course are just like our members. You know, they're there every day. We see them all the time. It's really cool to see them in all seasons of the year. You know, they come in with their velvet, shed their sheds in the fall, and it's just awesome to see out there. We also have a 360 view of the mountains with 14,000 foot Mount Blanca right in our backdrop. So when we have weddings and things like that out there, our wedding site has Mount Blanca in the background. And in the evenings when the sun sets, if there's cloud cover, it really lights up that snow up there in bright pink and reds. It's truly, truly a beautiful place to be. You know, we have a lot of cattails on the course referring to our name. We also have the Great Sand Dunes National Park in our backdrop as well. You can see the entire sand dunes from our front nine there. So it's very beautiful out there.
This is a unique area. There are unique things to go see and do in the different towns. Up in South Fork, you've got Del Norte on the way. There's Monta Vista. There's Alamosa. And there's so many other unique things that people can experience besides just golfing. But come out and golf and experience any one of the three courses. You're going to be treated with unique views. You've got great people working here. You've got all kinds of opportunities. Well, Ingrid, Nick, John, I want to thank you all for coming out and talking to us about this. This is great. Certainly hope you have a lot of new people coming out and experiencing what each of your courses has to offer and enjoying the game of golf. Thanks, y'all.
Thanks for having us.
For more information or to ask questions, you can contact any of these special courses. The Monta Vista Golf Club, located at 101 Country Club Drive in Monta Vista, can be reached by calling them at 719-852-4906. Or visit their website, golfmontavista.com. Located in the heart of Monta Vista, this 9-hole golf course is one of the first 15 in the state and offers unique challenges to young and old golfers alike.
The Rio Grande Club and Resort, located at 285 Rio Grande Club Trail in South Fork, can be reached by calling them at 719-873-1998 or visit their website, RioGrandeClubAndResort.com. The newest of the courses in the San Luis Valley, Rio Grande Club is nestled in the San Juan Mountains and offers a world-class golfing experience.
And the Cattails Golf Course, located at 6615 North River Road in Alamosa, can be reached by calling them at 719-589-9515 or visit their website, AlamosaCattails.com. Surrounded by majestic mountain ranges, Cattails offers epic views on a flat 18-hole course near the Rio Grande River. Remember, an off day of golf is still a good day. Pick your course and go golf today.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events, more listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word, too, by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please, patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your friends, family, and neighbors. We all love this area and want to see it flourish. And you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley.